You got your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 2 is where the Lord has spoke to me this week about, and we hope that we can give you what the Lord has given us. Hope we can, this will be a blessing to you and a help to you. I've just been praying, asking God. I said, God, I don't want to be anything but just what you want me to be. As we've been trying to help the church and lead the church, you know, it's got to start at my house. It can't start here. It's got to start at my house. And I have to ask God to help me, help lead this church. You got to ask God to help you, to help me. We can help somebody else. Y'all realize this thing ain't about me or about you. It's all about Him. If we can honor Him, that's the main thing. If He'll be lifted up, He said He'd draw all men. And that's what I want to do, is lift Him up, because He's worthy today to be lifted up. And I praise the Lord for what He's done in our lives. He has given us another week and watched over us and kept us safe. And that's a blessing in itself right there. You're here, you're not in the hospital, you're not in a jailhouse, or your family ain't gathered around as they're carrying you down to the graveyard to bury your body, because you won't be there. I've been praying for a family that I don't even know, but a message was sent to me to pray as a family carries their 19-year-old son to the graveyard today. And I thought, God, I thank you that you spared me today from that grief. Because that could be you today, or that could be me. We could be carrying mommy or daddy or our aunts or uncles or grandparents or children to the graveyard, but God has been so good. His grace is sufficient to watch over and help us every day. And I sure don't take it for granted. I'm so filled up this morning, I don't know what I'm going to do next. I just feel that good presence of God speaking to people this morning. There's some people in this building today hurting. You've been hurting all week. You come this morning needing something from God. And I've travailed over messages this whole week, and God kept bringing me back to this point. It's for you this morning, and I hope this will help you. You just pray as I try to preach this morning. Ephesians chapter 2, if you would, let's stand to our feet for the reading of God's Word this morning. The Bible says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God..." "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherein He loved us..." Bless His holy name. "Even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus," just like I feel here this morning. We're in a heavenly place this morning. Can I hear from you, church? "That in the age to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you right now, Lord, I am so unworthy to even speak these precious words today. But by your grace and your mercy, you have made us worthy through your Son, Jesus Christ, and his shed blood on the cross of Calvary. God, how we thank you for bringing all these that have come today. May you speak to them, speak to their hearts, and give them, Lord, this message that you have spoken to my spirit and into my heart. May they receive it today, and may we grow from it. For we ask this in the precious and the highest and the only name that we know that's above every name. And that's at the name of Jesus we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good, listen, works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I'm glad that God didn't create me unto bad works, but he's created me unto good works. He didn't create me to suffer. He created me to prosper and bring him glory. Now, I'm not one of these prosperity preachers that'll get up and preach and tell you if you give $1,000, God's going to give you $10,000. Or if you do this or you do that, God's going to do this and do that. But I'll tell you what, if you live a life that'll honor God, he'll bless your life. Why? Because he created you unto good works. He didn't create us to live in the world, but we got to be in this world, but not of this world. He created us to bring glory and honor to his name in this present time. I was talking to a brother this week, and he said, I get tired sometimes to hear people say, I remember how it was way back when. I wished it was like way back when. You know, we used to see grandmother get up and she'd walk the aisles around the church and shout and raise her hand and shake the brother's hands, and she couldn't hold herself back for praising God. And we said we'd love to see it like the old times. But I'm going to tell you today, God didn't call me to be in the old time. He called me to be in this time. Amen. I ain't worried about what they did way back then. I want to do what I can do for God now. Amen. So God will be honored in my life. But I'll tell you, I want to preach this morning and give what God has given us. Here we see in this chapter, Paul's on his missionary journey to Ephesus. And he's trying to teach them here and teach them the doctrines of the Word of God and how to live for God. Here the Christians need instructions and they need to know what God wants in their life. And he's trying to show them the plans of God and to help them here in Ephesus. So this morning, with the help and the grace of God, I want to preach on, if it be the Lord's will, God's grace. God's wonderful, wonderful grace and what it means to me in my life and to you in your life. If you look up what is grace, if you'll get a dictionary and look it up and see what it says about grace, it'll put in there a divine favor. Or it'll say mercy, to be honored or to be loved. I'm glad that God has got all that for his people. He's got that for all of us. God's grace does. And God's grace has been so good to us. There's a few things you got to know about God's grace. I got three things of God's grace that I want to share with you this morning that you need. The first thing that you need from God's grace is you need God's saving grace, is what you need this morning. If you're here lost without God, you need to be born again. Why? Because you're on your way to a devil's hell. There's only heaven or hell. There's no in between. Somebody may preach to you or told you there's a place in between that you go to. They have told you a lie if they've told you that. We walk in this life and we are chosen to honor God. We're chosen to live for God. He created us to bring him glory. He didn't create us to go to hell. Can I hear from you this morning? Not one vessel of your body, not one ounce of your blood, nothing within you was created to go to hell. He created you unto good works to bring him glory. And it's the devil's way to try to discourage you and to bring you down and to make you to believe that God doesn't love you and this is all just a fairy tale. That's what the devil's job is. But I'm here to report to you this morning that God loves you this morning. It's his will that you have his saving grace in your life. without His grace in your life, you will die and go to a devil's hell. That is really real right now. It's a literally burning place that is burning right now. It has your name on it if you're not born again. If Christ was to choose to come and get the church right now, I wonder where you'd be. I wonder if you would go to heaven. I wonder if you stepped off into eternity right now, where would you go? Would you be ready? This is free this morning. This ain't got nothing to do with my message. I'm just following God. Y'all mind if I preach this morning? I want to tell you, thus saith the Word of God. You may say, I didn't come this morning to think about dying. Well, you ought to think about it because it's just a breath away. I remember as a young child when we was at our first church that where I was saved at, there was an elderly lady that had been sick for a long time, and she wanted to be anointed there that day, and the brethren followed the scriptures, and they called upon the elders of the church, and they brought her up, and they gathered around her, and they anointed her with oil. But they didn't realize today was the day she was going to step off into eternity. And when she gathered around, she sat out on the front seat, and all the brethren gathered around, and they anointed her, and they put their hands on her, and they began to pray. And they began to ask God to touch her and lift her up. And they was believing God for a healing for her. And she came believing that God was going to give her a healing. And when they got done praying, they looked, and she done slipped out into glory. That fast, gone. But the good part was she was already ready to meet God. I don't know no better place to go than in the house of God. We have to suffer. We have to go through the times when people slip out of this life. But it brings us great joy when they know the Lord, when they got the grace of God in their life, when they have the saving grace of God. We can be happy about that. Us as ministers, when we preach the gospel, when we stand behind the caskets and we preach the messages, when we know those have left a good testimony behind, it makes it so much easier to preach to the family and to the people and let them know they're in a better place because of their testimony. We can't preach nobody into heaven or hell, but you're preaching your funeral right now. You're living your testimony right now. If you want me to say something that might lift up your family and help them live a life that honors God, and I'll do it when they stretch your cold corpse out. But it won't matter what I say when you die. All that matters is if you know Jesus or not, and if the blood's been applied. We must have saving grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, the Bible says, even when we were dead in sin, He hath quickened us together with Christ Jesus. By grace are you saved. Colossians 2:13, the Bible says, and ye being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of the flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiveness for all your trespasses. He has forgiven you of all those trespasses. I'm telling you what, God spoke to me one time, and He spoke just like through Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. He said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. There ain't nobody else can do that. I can buy you gifts all day long. I can give you money all day long. Brother Aaron, I'm buying you a real nice gift and give it to you. And if I told you that's eternal life, I'd be lying unto you, because I cannot give you eternal life. I can give you gifts. I can give you money. I can love on you and make you something great in my life and honor your life. But I can never get you to this place called heaven other than to tell you and to show you and to show you there's a way. And you have to accept that. If you're going to get out of this life to the next, you better have saving grace. Now, the world now makes it look it's unpopular. We don't want to talk about that. We just want to live our lives, and we want to do our thing. We want to have our careers, and we're going to live all the way through this thing, and we're just going to die and rot in the ground. That's a lie straight from hell, I'm telling you today. When that breath leaves the body, eternity just begins. That will never end, never end, never end, never end. We're all going to receive eternal life. Do y'all realize that? I heard that one time. I've told this before, but I heard that on the radio when I was a young Christian. I heard a man say, we're all going to receive eternal life. And I thought, that man is crazy. Only those that are saved are going to receive eternal life. But at that time, I hadn't studied the Word of God. I really didn't know it that well. But we're all going to receive eternal life. Whether you receive it in heaven or hell, you're going to receive eternal life. You're either going to get a body that will never burn up, or you're going to get a glorified body that's going to praise Him forever. One way or the other, you're going into eternity, and it's your choice today where you go. You better have saving grace of God. It just don't stop there. God has many benefits for you and I. He offers saving grace, and when we accept that saving grace, it don't just stop there. The next thing that He has is living grace. I'm glad His grace isn't just for saving, but He'll go with me through this life. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He has said, I will never leave thee or forsake thee." I'm glad in this life He'll go all the way with me, even down to the end of the world. What's that mean? Now, down to the end of my life. And when it comes time to step off into eternity, He'll be right there to take me right on the cross. I'm glad when I get down to Chile, Jordan, and I see that, and I might be afraid. I'm glad He's going to be there to take me by the hand and lead me right on the cross into eternity with Him. You might say, "I'm not afraid to die." Well, you're the first one. I'm afraid of it. I ain't never died before. I ain't looking forward to dying. Now, there have been times I thought I was going to die. I've been right down to the river, and I thought, this is it. I'm going across, and they're all standing on the other side going, "Go back! Go back! It's not time!" You ever felt that way? Catch the flu. You'll feel like you're going to die. Catch pneumonia, you'll feel like you're going to die. You think you're going to. But I'm glad He'll be with us. He'll go with us all the way through it. Joshua 1:5 says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." The Lord will not fail you. He will give you living grace. Not just saving grace, but living grace. You'll be able to live with Him and walk with Him and have a relationship with Him that will lead and guide and direct you all the days of your life. How many's been depressed this week? We've all had depression. We all get down. Did you know where the Lord's at that time? Right here. Amen. The Lord's right there with you. Yeah. When you feel the lowest, He's right there. Yeah. When you feel you ain't got nobody, Brother JT, He's right there. Yeah. When I felt like it, everybody had forsaken me, the Lord was right there. He walks with me. He talks with me. He sits with me. He eats with me. He rejoices with me. He does it all with me. Amen. Why? Because I've got living grace is what I've got. He promised to never leave me. The devil will whisper in your ear, "You're all alone. It's so bad. Where's the Lord at in all of this?" But if you'll listen real closely and just lay your head over just a little bit, you can listen and you hear the heartbeat. You can hear the heartbeat of God if you'll listen what God's doing in your life. Lean your head over and you can hear the heartbeat of God. Living grace is what I'm talking about. That's what we need in our life, not just saving grace, but living grace. I'm trying to tell you something this morning. I'm falling apart trying to tell you something. And God loves you this morning. And He'll go with you. He'll walk with you. He'll talk with you. He'll show you what He wants out of your life. When I get to that place in my life and I don't know what God's doing, if I'll get real quiet and listen, God will say, "Right there. Walk right there." And I'll say, "Lord, I don't know which way I'm going. Would you show me, Lord?" And I'll be walking through there. And I'll be bumping into stuff. And the Lord said, "Now, come on, get over." And I'll still be bumping into stuff. And God said, "Come on over here." Why does He do that? Because He walks with me. He's never left me. And His promises is He'll never leave you. He'll go with you no matter what. I don't know what you all been through this week, but I'll tell you what, hell ain't been liking what I've been doing. And they've been on alert about what's going on down here at the house of God. And they've been trying to stumble you, Pastor, up and discourage you, Pastor. But I found out one thing this week. I got back in the Word. And He said, greater is He that's within me than he that's in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And I claim those verses. I live on those verses. And I trust Him for that in my life. Not just saving grace, but living grace. He said, I'll go with you all the way. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are His workmanship. When I look at you, I see Christ. This is what Christ has made. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. There's nobody like you. Some of you might think, well, praise God. I couldn't take another one like that. But the Bible says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Nobody acts the way you do, talks the way you do, or does the things you do. And wouldn't you want everything like that to honor God? Let me take it a little farther. When you go home and everybody's gone, and you go into your house and you shut the door, I wonder what kind of person you are there where nobody's looking. Nobody sees what I'm doing now. There's one that sees. He's watching everything. Why? Because He said He'd be with you. He'd go with you. When you got mad this week and said something you shouldn't have said, He was right there when you done it. Oh, Lord, preacher, don't start on that. But that's the way it happens. Everything that we do like that. How about when you hurt yourself by accident? A lot of the farmers are not farming right now because it's too cold. But when you're out farming and you're doing things like that and you're using equipment and you slip and you hit yourself with a hammer or you cut yourself on something, what comes out of you then? I tell you what could come out of you. If you'll live on His living grace and walk with Him, the right things will come out of you, even in the worst of time. Even when the pain is afflicting your body, the right things will come out your mouth. Really, I've never been able to do that. If you'll pray harder and live closer, that will happen. How could that happen? Let me give you for an instant right here. My brother-in-law sitting back here on the back pew. He's back there. He's scared of me. I'm going to get back right up in his lap here in a minute. We were working together up in Bristol, and we were building a deck, and we had men working for us, and we were trying to watch them, and they was new guys, and they didn't know what they was doing. They was using all this equipment. Had me tore all to pieces. And I'm using a saw, and I'm just sawing away, and I'm watching them men, you know, and I'm getting my mind off of what I'm doing. And all of a sudden, I'm sawing a piece of wood, and I'm watching another guy not paying attention. And I sawed that finger right there completely off, believe it or not, plumb down past this knuckle. Completely off. Disintegrated that finger. And the first thing that come out of my mouth, I said, oh, thank you, Jesus, like that. Oh, Lord, help me, please. And I mean, I'm dying. You ain't never cut a finger off and exploded it. Now, it'll bring in some pain. And the whole time I'm just saying, thank you, Lord. You know, help me, Lord. And I'm trying to praise the Lord. I mean, I'm hurting. And I'm trying to walk in grace. And all these men are just looking at me. And that one guy over there about shot himself with a nail gun come up to me and said, let me see it, let me see it. And I said, look. And it just blood just splattered all over him. I mean, I'm bleeding like you cut your throat. I mean, I'm thinking I'm dying. Alan's standing back and going, What'd he do? You know, and I'm dying, you know, but I'm still praising Jesus. Why? How could you do that? Because I try to walk with God, even in the worst time of my life. And then the devil showed up. He's like, you've cut your finger off now. You can't play music no more and blah, blah. He's telling me all this stuff. You know, and I'm just trying to trust the Lord. I'm trying to believe. We're going to the hospital, and the boy's taking me to the hospital. We're going down Euclid Avenue, 90 miles an hour. We're heading to the intersection where all them cars are doing this. I put both feet up on the dash. I said, "You're going to kill us." He said, "I got to get you there." And boom, right through that intersection. Never hit a single car. I had heaven working on overtime that day. I'll run into the emergency room, and that lady sitting behind the desk, you know how they are. They just sit there so nonchalant. "Can I help you?" I said, "Yes, you can help me." Blood everywhere. They rushed me back there, and, you know, it's an awful time. And they go back there, and they look at my hand. They x-ray my hand. I'm still walking in grace. Listen to me. And they get back there, and a couple of doctors come in, and this one doctor's looking at my finger, and you know, and they ain't done a thing. They haven't done a thing. I'm dying here. I'm like, "Please knock me out, do something. I'm dying here." And he's looking at that finger. He said, "Oh, I can fix that." I mean, he's cut off to there. That's why it looks so bad. You see how bad it looks? It's, anyhow, it's cut off to there, and he said, "I can fix that." He said, "You're in luck," is what he put it. "I just happen to be a hand surgeon, and I'm on call tonight." And I thought, there ain't no luck to that. That's walking with God right there. God will honor your life if you'll live for Him. I don't care what the devil throwing your way. You can cut your hand off, and He'll have a hand surgeon there to bless you, to help get your hand put back on. They went down and found a bone somewhere downstairs and brought it back up there and built that finger back. And it took me about 6-8 months to get to where I could even stand to lay it down. But you can see today that I still have my finger. You see, I've been playing music. That's what God will do if you'll live for Him, amen. He'll bless you in the littlest things. You see, that really works? It really works. We need living grace in our life. And my last, I got to quit. I'm running out of time. Is we've got to have dying grace. Not only saving grace, living grace, but we got to have dying grace. The Bible says in Psalms 116, verse 15, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." Why would the Lord be excited about the death of His saints? How many got children that's done moved out and done doing their thing? They're done gone. You're home alone. You have several here. Well, don't you get excited when your children decide to come home? Don't that make you excited? And you're anticipating, and you get everything ready, and you're happy that they're headed home, and you're all excited. Can you imagine how the Lord feels? How He's give you His grace, His saving grace, and His living grace, and He's walked with you and talked with you and done all these things for you, and all of a sudden, you're finally coming home. You finally get to go home. Can you imagine how excited He is that you're on your way home? Now, to us here, we look at it carnally, and we don't want to give them up, and we want them to stay with us, and we want to stay, but I'll tell you what, there's a better place for those that love God. So precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Romans 14:8 says, "For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's." I'm talking about truly born again people. We are the Lord's. Do you have His dying grace today? David said it the best in Psalms 23:4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." He said, "You are with me even when I go through the valley of death." There's that dying grace. When my daddy got ready to meet the Lord and go into eternity, I remember that morning, hardest day of my life. Some of you in here have never had that day. Several of you have had that day. when you've seen mommy and daddy and brothers and sisters and all those leave this life. I've been with a lot of people that's died. I've been with them that's trusted the Lord, and I've been with those that have not trusted the Lord. And trust me, I'd rather be beside the bed of one that loves God and has lived for God than those that don't. But that morning, as Daddy was getting ready to go, and our hearts were broke, and I had finally, for 2 solid years, had watched my daddy wither away to nothing. And I could not pray. Church, there was times I couldn't pray. I could not ask God for help because I was so low. I just couldn't pray. I don't know if you've ever been there, but I was there. And even though he'd saved me and I'd walked with him and everything was great, I was low. But that dying grace moved into the room. And that Saturday night, or that Sunday night rather, I'd seen my daddy suffer so bad that I finally got down on my knees beside of his bed. And I said, God, I have walked with you, I've lived for you, I've sung for you, and I've done everything I could do. There's one thing I've got to ask. Would you please take my daddy out of this suffering? Church, that was the hardest prayer I ever prayed in my life. The hardest one. I got up from there. It wasn't just a little bit. That the heavenly host moved in the room. And I had to step back as they took charge and moved in. And when Daddy went, there was the greatest peace, God, that came over my life. Yes, I was destroyed that I had lost my daddy on this side of the river, that I'd never physically get to say I love you again and all those things. Spiritually, I was so happy that my daddy trusted God and moved out with dying grace. And it showed me that one day, too, I will have to go this same way if God tarries his coming. God help me to have that dying grace. So I ask you this morning, do you have the grace that I have spoke about, I've talked about, and I've preached about this morning? As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, let me ask you this question. If he was to come today, are you ready to meet him? I don't know nobody's heart in here and wouldn't try to, but God does. That day is coming for you and it's coming for me. And someday the sound is going to be made through heaven that your time has come. And the heavenly host will be dispatched to come and carry you into eternity. I wonder, if today was that day, are you ready? Young, old alike, I ask everybody in this house today, are you ready? Let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.